pastor frequently has one of the men in the church.
Amen.
For the service, and I just felt there was a need for prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The way to go. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures, and I would like, if you want to follow in your Bible, of course, that would be fine. But what I want you to do with these four one-verse scripture, and then the fifth reading is going to be extensive. What I want you to do is listen. There's a common theme that goes with each verse or the extended passage. And I want to see if you can catch it, pick it up, and because that's what I'll be preaching on tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, who had said regarding himself that he was in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Then the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, chapter 17. And I'm going to read verse 5. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Chapter 14 and verse 19. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now the extended passage is in the book of Acts, chapter 19, and I am going to begin reading Acts 19, beginning to read at verse 23. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth." And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things could not be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Now, the theme of these verses, would anybody want to take a venture? If I were sitting in your place listening, I know it's not easy, but I wanted to see if there was. Now, as soon as I say it, you'll see it. Okay? The theme of these verses, I'm going to go back and recount, not read them all again, but recount. The theme of these verses, in a different context than the context of our present day, the theme is rioting. Rioting.
No.
Rioting is a violent disturbance of peace or normal conditions. I was curious what the Bible said about riots. Well, you see there, we read in 2 Corinthians 6 and 5 about a tumult. Well, I must confess, I knew it wasn't a good thing, but I had to go look up the word tumult. You know what it means? Instability, disorder, confusion. In other words, there was a condition that affected the Apostle Paul that was a riot. There was a tumult that he frequently lived with. In Acts chapter 17, verse 5, it says that these particular Jews had set all the city in an uproar. The significance there isn't that they were Jews any more than the significance that today there are black men who are rioting. The issue today is not the color of the skin. The issue in Paul's day was not that these were Jews, but the city was set in an uproar. Then in chapter 13 and verse 50, it says the Jews stirred up against Paul and Barnabas. And that's always what happened. When Paul was preaching, people didn't like it. And so rather than just let it alone, no, they would stir up. They did it in Paul's day, just like they're doing it today. And then in Acts chapter 14, oh, this is an interesting one. And I've got to go back and read this one. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. "And there came hither certain Jews." Now see, it's frequently referring to Jews because the Jews of that day saw Paul's message as opposing Judaism. It was not opposing it, it was fulfilling it. But they didn't see it that way. And what it says, "There came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium." Some outsiders came in, and what did they do? They came in and persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, to throw him outside the city, thought he was dead. Okay? Outsiders came in. If you've been watching any news, you know that's what's happening in all of the major cities where there's rioting that's going on. Outsiders are coming in. Well, then in Acts chapter 19, we read a rather extensive passage there, and he tells us in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing, some another. Here it is. For the assembly was confused. Some people said one thing. Some people said another thing. They were confused. And look, listen to what it says here. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. There was a large number of them that didn't even know why they were there. Rioting.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard the name of George Floyd. We understand that. But that, you know, my friend, is not what the riots are about. Okay? Any more than when there was a riot, you say, well, I don't think that is a riot with those passages. Well, what would you call that? If you wouldn't call them a riot, what are the conditions? The whole city was in an uproar, and a man was stoned, considered dead, and thrown outside the city. Okay? Very interesting. Today on the news, I heard the head of the New York Police Department's terrorism. He's the head of the terrorism for New York Police Department. He said that what is taking place in the various cities is a nationwide organized effort of anti-Americanism, anti-capitalism, and anti-Western civilization. What's the evidence for this? Well, first of all, he doesn't confide in me. Just what all his evidence is, okay? Any more than the president confides in you or anybody else regarding all that he knows from his points of security. But nevertheless, the evidence is of it that he did verify. Bail bonds were set up, okay? The point of contact for bail bonds were set up, are set up, in every major city where riots would take place. So that when they're arrested, right away, they got a bail to get out. Lawyers who oppose our country, they're already signed up and their phone numbers are on the list so that they can be contacted. You may have heard this already, and it's been generally in the news, stockpiles of bricks, incendiary devices that are set up, and they are in these major cities, in the neighborhoods. Well, how do they know where the riot's going to be? Wake up, friends, and smell the roses. They don't smell so sweet. They know where they're going to be made because they're going to create the confusion and the tumult where they're needed. You say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I come to church to get taught the Bible. Did you not hear the scriptures that I just read? Do we not realize that what we said for decades, centuries, the Bible has something to say about everything? There isn't a thing that we'll meet but what the Bible can address it. What are we meeting? We're meeting a tumultuous condition within our country. What does the Bible have to say about it? It's sit back and pretend it's not happening. Figure that, well, it'll blow over. My friends, you do not know your world history. You do not understand many of the events in countries of Europe for this past 50, 60 years. Because these are the kind of events that took place. They did not blow over. Nations were toppled. As you saw, the Bible mentions a few riots, none of them favorably. Now, a resource that I used for this subject is a website called gotquestions.org. I am not making a blanket endorsement of that site. When I've used it, I found it helpful. So far, I've not found a problem with the things that I've gone to it to get some insight on, some research about. If it were possible that I just knew everything, okay? Now, I know sometimes some people think I know everything, but just shows you what they don't know, okay? I don't know everything, and therefore, I need help. And so, this is a website I've used. And now, I've not read every article. There's an extensive number of articles and subjects they deal with, and I've not read them all. So if you read something that's not right, if you read anything that's heresy, let me know. I need to know if you read something that's heresy, because I don't need the good stuff. Okay, I had a friend of mine who still says, take the wheat, leave the chaff. But when it comes to a website that would have heresy on it, okay, I don't need the wheat. I can get the wheat somewhere else. Okay, now if it's a different opinion or a different way of explaining something than what I would prefer, that's another matter. That's where I'll take the wheat and leave the chaff. But anything other than that, no. But like I say, so I'm not making a blanket endorsement, but I found help there. And the reason I'm saying that is because I don't want someone to come along later and have me in jail because I plagiarized something. I say that halfway in jest, folks. You know, you're looking serious at me. But you know, there's so much of what my message is that I gleaned from the research. The most infamous riot in the Bible took place during the trial of Jesus. The trial of Jesus before Pilate. You know, the governor, it says in John chapter 19, verse 4, Pilate said, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. You can read Luke and you can read John and you can learn about the trial of Jesus. And I know you've read it many times. Read it in this context. Read it in the setting of what we're living right now in our country. And what is the situation? There were instigators who wanted Jesus done away with. But they could not do it on their own. And so what they did was incite the crowd, that's what it's referred to, whatever the number of people that was there, the crowd to... Because Pilate thought he found a way out. Surely they'll want this good man rather than this Barabbas. Surely they won't want that. He's a reprobate and worthless. And they'll surely want this man who healed them and fed them. And so he gave them a choice. But the instigators incited the crowd to call for the release of Barabbas. That, my friends, is a riotous condition and situation. You see, we would not have had occasion or reason, I guess, to read these passages that I have tonight. I know I never did, to read them and think of riots. I knew you had a crowd that was doing a dumb thing, calling for Barabbas. You know, I knew that Paul was persecuted wherever he went. But you know, persecution, that can be just such a broad term. And unless you've ever experienced some of the things that Paul experienced because of your faith, we wouldn't be able to identify. Have you ever been stoned, taken outside the city and left for dead? Okay, have you ever been beaten? I mean, the cat and nine tails? No, we haven't. So, it's events and happenings that prompt us then in trying to understand, well, what does the Bible say about something like this? To then look at it. And that's why God has given to the church, the body of Christ, not just a local congregation, though he gives to a local congregation men who can teach, but he has given to the church, the body of Christ, men who can teach. And therefore they have, whether it's by their own experiences or just the skills that God has given them, they are able to look at passages like this. And now we can look at them and say, ooh, this is what the Bible says about rioting. Well, we knew that the Bible wouldn't be in favor of what we see on our nightly news. We understand that. I mean, after all, we're not that dumb. We know that God doesn't like that. But there again, that's one of the big, broad terms. God doesn't like it. But in the Bible, it gets a little more specific. Most people, the crowd who heard Jesus, they saw his miracles. A number of them could have eaten when he fed the 4,000 and 5,000 people. They were under his influence. But there was then the influence of the instigators who wanted Pilate to do their dirty work. And so they got others to quickly turn against Jesus. Riots may appear to be spontaneous, but upon investigation, it is usually discovered that there are instigators who use inflammatory words, exaggerated details to achieve their agenda. Go back and read the trial of Jesus. What were the things that those instigating Jewish leaders said about Jesus?
None.
Just exaggerating them. Okay? And so we see that what happened to the Apostle Paul and to the Lord Jesus Christ happens today when it comes to the matter of riots. Mm. People caught up in the heat of the moment, they don't usually realize they are being used for the agenda of the instigators. Rioting is a form of lawlessness. Okay? There's any country that has laws that has written into it how to conduct a riot. All right? A riot is against the law. And the Bible condemns living against the law. All right, 1 John. Because I knew you were probably going to ask what I meant. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Even if there is a just cause that the rioters are standing for, the breaking of the law is sin, a transgression of the law, the breaking of the law. possibly some. One is thinking, well, the law of God that the Bible talks about, the law of God is spiritual. Well, the law of God was given by God to the Israelites through Moses, and you have the moral law that's applicable to all men, and then you have the ceremonial law that was used in their religious sacrifices and the like, and then that includes also the civil law. So you see, there's three aspects to the law of God. And so somebody is saying, well, the law of God is spiritual and the law of the land is not. The law of God is spiritual, the moral law is different than the law of the land, be it the United States, Canada, or whatever country. And yes, they are different. But that doesn't mean they're contradictory. Yeah. Difference doesn't always mean contradiction. Looking at the book of Acts chapter 19, we were there earlier, Acts chapter 19. I want to look at verse 38 and 39. Here's what God had recorded in regards to the uproar against Paul at Ephesus. Wherefore, if this is the the town clerk, verse 35, the town clerk. He'd have been a government leader. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, here it is, the law is open. And there are deputies, let them plead one another, let them deal with this thing. Verse 39. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, matters that go beyond Demetrius and what he was saying about Paul's message and how it was going to damage his craft. If there be inquire anything concerning other matters, here it is, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Now that God chose to include that when he recorded what Paul and his travelers experienced when they were in Ephesus, when this riot took place. It's, if you please, an appeal to the fact there is a law of the land. And finally, this Ephesus that gets dealt with by the law. And just like that needs to get dealt with by the law, because it appears that there was a breaking of the law, in the same sense, the writing that's taking place needs to be dealt with also by the law. This is not a time, friends, for police departments to be told to stand down. This town clerk told the men it was going to be dealt with by the law. And the town clerks, which really aren't town clerks in our government structure, okay? The mayors and the governors would be the equivalent. They should not be telling their police departments to stand down. They've been trained to deal with this sort of thing, but they're not allowed to deal with it. He said, this isn't really what I expected on prayer meeting night. Well, you know what? I didn't expect either to turn my television on and see riots,
yes, sir,
in every major city around the country. I didn't expect to hear about a protest protesting is fine. You always have to make the clarification. Protesting is fine. And there was protesting that took place in the city of Olean, where I live, earlier this week. Protesting is fine. The worst thing that happened was there were two fights that broke out. Okay? And I was, again, the mayor didn't call me to give me the details, so I don't know what happened. But the bottom line is, I understand that there are those who aren't satisfied with that. And there's more that is desired to happen in Olean. Okay? And more than that, I will not say, plus I divulge my sources. yeah. Oh, by the way, Romans 13, 1 and 2. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You say, the law of God in the Bible is spiritual, but the law of the land is different? Yeah, but God said here that the law of the land, he establishes it until he takes it down. And well, there's times where he is taking it down, but he establishes it. And so it's different, but it doesn't mean that we can disobey it. Well, I'm going to conclude by reading these scriptures. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Friends, our hope as believers in Jesus Christ is in the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
That does not mean that we will not be affected by the events and happenings that exist within our country, our state, our cities, the places where we live and work. But be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do pray that you will enable us to have our confidence in Jesus Christ and to not to be cocky about it, not to hold it with arrogance, but rather, Lord, with a sense of security that you are.